really delighted to have on the line a person who is held with high esteem in our community, a person that does so much great work, and we're delighted to have you, Dr. Gary Leon, on Spotlight on 90.5. Darren and I love to interview people that celebrate a story. And can we tell our listeners, happy anniversary to you and your wife today as well. It's a very special day for you going forward.
Thank you, Jim.
And thank you, Gary, for joining us. And I know in your bio you have a lot of qualifications and experience, and you can expand on that if you'd like to, but I'll introduce you as a pediatric endocrinologist who specializes in treatment of children suffering with obesity and diabetes and its complications. And I understand that's what you want to talk about this morning.
Yes, as I've mentioned to you before we started, I've been working as a pediatrician and endocrinologist, you know, for over 30 years. And over that period of time, I'd like to think I've acquired some knowledge about to help families move to a healthier place, especially those children with, you know, with severe obesity and then at high risk of developing type 2 diabetes and heart disease. And also, importantly, to emphasize the intersection between obesity and mental health problems, depression, anxiety, which often occur together. So the book that I've written, the Ride to Life book, which is available on all good booksellers, I was inspired to write this book partly because I was going through my own, problems, I suppose, with mental health, which I still struggle with. But using cycling as a way to help me, I'm connected with a wonderful group of people through the Mater Foundation in Brisbane, Smiling for Smitty Cancer Charity, and done over the last 5 to 6 years a number of their quite challenging rides to raise money for cancer research. And it seemed to me that that would be, to use the analogy of a ride to life and my interest in cycling Tour de France and how the analogy is going, you know, going up hills and then struggling with that effort of going up hills is sometimes analogous to how families deal with their own, you know, obesity and mental health problems. And
Gary, then, it's very interesting you talk about that, if I might just jump in, and we'll come back to your thoughts. Is I'm a cyclist myself, and Jim knows that well.
Great.
And most definitely, I love that time when I was working at Westmead and then going home to Carlingford. And if anyone knows that well, there's North Rocks Road to go up. And that climb that you're saying, very analogous for me, it was climbing out of the workday but back into like the family life, even though they're not totally separated. But that's what it was for me. Just we're going back a little bit. We'll talk a bit more about the book as we go through the interview this morning. You're saying just before we came on air how much adolescents and the young children, how important it is for them to get good habits that helps with their health. And as we're saying, that even leads to mental health. Can you share a bit about that and your studies in those areas?
The children that I see in my clinics out at Nepean Hospital and privately Bondi Junction, they've got not just mildly overweight, you know, if you think about 1 in 4 children in our society and 2 in 3 adults are overweight or obese. But what I'm seeing now is the pointy end of the obesity epidemic with kids who are extremely overweight, extremely obese, who now develop major complications. And though they're physical complications related to diabetes risk, fatty liver disease, obstructive sleep apnea, the major barrier to them and their parents being able to make changes around their lifestyle, making those micro habit changes which build into bigger habit changes, is their mental health. Because they get bullied at school, they get teased, they get isolated, trying to even get them involved in team sports and team activities. The coach, you know, sees them and thinks, okay, you know, I don't want to invest too much time in this person. You know, everyone is prejudged if they're overweight, and there's a big, stigma around being overweight. But, we're all meant to be different, different sizes, shapes, colors, different background. We have to respect that our genes and our ethnic and cultural things do mould who we are. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't still, as parents, instill in our children that sense of worth, sense of, and through that, eating food which nourishes your body rather than pollutes it or makes it toxic. I could go on, but I might have some other questions.
It's very topical and very important. We all love our children, Gary. We love them dearly, and I think sometimes we kill them with kindness, in the sense that I think we become a little bit lackadaisical in providing a discipline with regards to lifestyle and food in particular. And it must break your heart when you see families bring in their children who are obese, and in the back of your mind saying, you know, a 9-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old child,
yes,
having, you can look at them now and say, in 30 years' time, things are going to happen. I want, and I'm saying it like this, Gary, looking towards the future, what can you say their son or daughter would look like, or complications? Like, they bring a 12-year-old, oh, yes, they eat a little bit too much, it's okay. But if we transform that 40 years later, continuing the same eating habits and so on, what issues does that child start to have?
Well, I don't think you have to look 40 years ahead, because if you look at some of the young adults that have grown up as severely obese children, they're getting type 2 diabetes. So by their 30s and 40s, they'll have complications of their diabetes if it's not well controlled and reversed. And there's a big problem with risk of cardiac disease now, this wave of child obesity that's causing not just high blood pressure and risk for stroke, but also cardiomyopathy. That's one of the commonest causes now of young adult cardiomyopathy, which is related to adolescence, severe adolescent obesity, and the pressure the weight puts on the heart. So the idea is to prevent all that. I don't try to use that. I don't encourage doctors or anyone else to try frighten parents into making change, but trying to understand that this is not just about preventing some of these life-threatening illnesses, but it's also about maximizing that child's potential as a person, as an adult in society, contributing, doing well, whether they're going to become a carpenter or a plumber or a neurosurgeon. But every child has to be, has to be given their God-given potential, and reaching that potential requires them to stay healthy, active, eat well, be active, connected in the community. So, yeah.
Gary, I was just going to say, we're going to go to a quick break. You're on Spotlight with Darren and Jim, and we're very, very fortunate to be able to speaking with Dr. Gary Leon, an eminent endocrinologist who deals specifically in the pediatric world. And we're just delighted that you would join us.
Alive 90.5.
Proud sponsors Linden Electric have been best in class since 1977, providing unparalleled electrical expertise in commercial, industrial, and laboratory solutions. This dynamic family-run team prides themselves on over 43 years worth of client-focused results based on their core values of quality, safety, and integrity. Linden Electric, experts in electrical, 9890 9663, or email james@linden.net.au for a booking. Station sponsor.
It's 18 minutes past 11, Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren. You're on Alive 90.5 Spotlight, and we're speaking with Dr. Gary Leon, an endocrinologist specialising in paediatric endocrinology. And Gary, before, when we were talking, you were mentioning about your book, and you've written a book, and the title again, and can you describe this again for us, and how you really want to get your message out through this book?
Yes, thanks, Sarah. Yeah, the book has inspired my cycling passion. It's called Ride to Life, no-nonsense program for breaking your family cycle of obesity and connecting to a healthier, happier life. So in the book, I used the analogy of different stages, like in the Tour de France, where you have a training stage, readiness, you know, to start the ride to a healthier place and journey. And then we talk in the book about the core things that I think that parents need to learn, because often they haven't been given that those lessons from their own parents, but how to learn to be leaders in their family, to be role models in their family. And a lot of it focuses on mindfulness, mindful eating, but mindfulness in everything that we do to help us navigate the stresses of, you know, everyday life, busy, busy family in the 21st century, with wonderful options for good food, healthy, nutritious food, but many, many other shortcuts for fast, fake food as well. And then, as I emphasise in the book, it's the importance of being active together as a family. One of the key things is about making micro habit changes. One has to sit back and make a conscious decision that you want to change, and a lot of parents don't want to change. A lot of people don't want to change what they're doing, and they're just continuing on their journey of ill health. So one thing that I get them to do at the early part of the book is just look at what their weekly routine involves in terms of morning, breakfast, getting to school, after school activities, weekend activities, how busy parents are. Is it, you know, I often hear those parents who are, you know, mother and father working together with the family, it's obviously having both parents with the same health message, where this, you get successful outcomes, but those that have a parent who's uninterested or doesn't think it's a priority, it's usually the mother who comes to me with their concerns. Not always. It's sometimes both mother and father, but often the father is, you know, depending on their back, bringing up from their parents and their relationship with their own father, how they relate to their own children, and often it's their idea, oh, I just work, earn the money, you look after the children. Well, you know, that's often where I see things breaking down.
Interesting, Gary, that you mentioned that, and I'm just thinking, so everyone in the household, if we have a teenager and maybe we've got mum and dad, would you recommend that everyone read your book so they all get to the same page?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's written in fairly simple, plain language. Anyone, you know, from 10 and above could read it. But it's primarily directed to the children.
So you're talking about it being a ride to life and the Tour de France. And I know my wife and I, we watch it every year, mainly for the scenery, but also for the riding. In the book, or just in that analogy, what is the yellow jersey that you're trying to achieve for these people?
That's a good question. I like that question. Well, it's a sense of more control in their lives, a sense of them each year making progress, achieving some goals with the whole family, you know, not just, you know, father or mother alone, doing it together as a family. So that might be a simple thing like going on a simple active holiday at the end of the year. It's about sitting down at the dinner table. That's one of the key things I try to teach my parents. Sitting down together as often as they can, every night if possible, at the dinner table, so that can be the vehicle for making small changes around improving communication, eating mindfully, paying respect, communicating between the parents, interconnecting between the parents and their children with their television off, hopefully. You'd be surprised how many families that I see in my clinics, they just sit around the couch. The teenager sits in their room, eats their own dinner in their room, watching their videos or YouTube or whatever. So just getting that as a fundamental rule for the family. So obviously you need to do that. It's easier to do it when you've got young children, and then the habits start flowing, healthy habits start flowing from that.
Yeah, Gary, you must be amazed at the level of technology that now has come into medicine. How has that influenced your way that you conduct yourself with your profession?
Well, I mean...
Well, that was a very good question too, Gary. I mean, that's nearly as good as a yellow shirt, you know.
I know there's a huge amount of technology in terms of access to information. I think there's too much information out there. It's very confusing to parents about what is a healthy diet. And I try to make it really simple. If your grandmother didn't recognize it as food, if it comes in a packet and it's, you know, largely processed, it's not food. It's calories without the nutritious benefit of a healthy piece of fruit, fresh vegetables, non-processed foods. So even despite that, you know, in terms of other technologies, obviously it's making difference in diagnosis, in diabetes management with insulin pumps and other things like that. But for the purpose of majority of my patients, it's really revolving around psychology of making healthy change and then the improving communication and goal setting and time management for these families.
So, Gary, those things are in your book. We're just about out of time. Time does fly when we're having a great conversation on Spotlight.
When you're having fun.
Yeah, indeed. So can you just summarise where people can get your book and how they can reach out to you as well if this has struck anyone to think, I want to have a chat with Gary because of my family and what we're trying to do.
So there's a website where you can get the book that's, if they Google, it's 1 year out of date now in a sense, but it's 2020familyhealthchallenge.com, 2020familyhealthchallenge.com. So on that book, there's a link to resources that I've created on the website and also links to, you know, all the major online booksellers that you can obtain the book from. And then you can order it online, an e-book or a printed book, basically, through that. And then they can also connect through their Facebook site that's linked to that to communicate with me via Facebook, which I, you know, do answer questions or anything on the Facebook site.
Gary, it's been a fascinating discussion, both you don't see this, but Darren and I look at each other and we communicate with our eyes about you know, the great love you have for what you do for other people. It's a real service of what you do, and you can feel that in your voice. You can visualize just how much care you give your patients, and we can wish you all the very best and hope you don't get old, because we need people like you to continue the great work with the burgeoning efforts of diabetes, particularly amongst young people, and of course the impact. One final question to ask you, and I'm hoping your wife will form your wife forms part of it. Three people you'd like to have dinner with tonight, who would they be?
Three people
for dinner
that I'd like to have.
Yes.
You mean people that I know? Well, I'm having wife for my dinner, so that's one.
Yes, one. Good answer.
Yeah, excellent answer.
And in fact, we're going to do a rare thing and just have a dinner without our three children tonight, so our three adult children. So they would be the other two or three people that I'd like to share. But in terms of, you mean prominent people?
Yeah,
or famous
people of interest to you. Who would you, we always ask number of people who, because that is a signal to us of a whole range of things, and it's not trying to impress us, but always we talk about it later about who you'd like to have dinner with.
There's one famous person who has actually written the foreword to my book, Phil Anderson, who's the first yellow jersey winner in Australia in non-European. So he's a friend of mine. I've ridden with him. So I haven't had dinner with Phil for a while, so that would be nice. And then in terms of other interesting people and famous people, I think the Dalai Lama would be interesting, and he's got a lot to teach us. And then maybe one of the gurus in mindfulness mindful eating that I reference a lot in the book, Dr. Susan Albers, who's from the Cleveland Clinic in America. She seems like an amazing woman as well, that could help many people.
Well, we would love to have you to come back and tell us about that, because we learned from other people. We're absolutely delighted. We would have thought that both Dan and myself may have made that list, but that's for another day, Gary. Happy anniversary, and thank you for what you do. It's been a pleasure to have you on Spotlight with Darren and Jim on 90.5.
Thank you so much, Jim, for your kind words. Thank you very much. And Darren too. Thank you.
Thank you, get Dr. Gary Long, and have a great day.
Thanks.
Alive 90.5.